So on this episode, we're talking about agency. And it happens to be a subject that academics have been debating for years.
Agency is a kind of a founding idea in the discipline of sociology.
This is sociologist Anindya Kundu.
One of the founding conversations we have is asking, what is more influential in determining a person's life? Is it a person's character, which is sort of an amorphous concept? Or is it these social, sociological structures, which are also kind of hard to pin down?
One answer to this debate came from psychologist Angela Duckworth, who believed the biggest factor for determining someone's trajectory, whether they had grit.
And it basically means that there's an immense power to having long-term passion and perseverance for certain goals.
Duckworth explained more on the TED stage in 2013.
One characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success, and it wasn't social intelligence, it wasn't good looks, physical health, and it wasn't IQ. It was grit.
And the concept struck a nerve. Soon, grit was everywhere.
There is a new buzzword in education.
Foundations funded research.
The MacArthur Foundation Fellows.
Duckworth wrote a book.
A new book called Grit.
And schools raced to develop grit in their students.
Just that grit may be just as important to teach as reading and math.
And a lot of schools where you see high levels of poverty were very quick to adopt grit as a sort of cultural value they believed would help their students succeed.
Back then, Anindya was teaching at NYU and getting his PhD. He was researching agency. And the idea that grit was the key ingredient for a student's success, it seemed simplistic.
Angela's work was convincing, but some of her early research was relatively homogenous. You know, she studied West Point cadets who made it through Beast Barracks. She studied spelling bee finalists, high academic achievers, to kind of figure out what was a part of their success. But in so doing, the recipe of success that was being lost was that, okay, these young people all may have had some sort of similar life experiences or supports. And, you know, from my work, what I was seeing was a one-digit difference in a young person's zip code where they're born or where they grow up can lead to 15 years difference in life expectancy. And another huge predictor of youth success is parents' level of income. And so those sociological factors were not necessarily a part of this widespread adoption of grit.
Okay, but rather than keep your critique of grit to yourself, you ended up going very public with your pushback.
Yeah, and so what I ended up doing was with one of my mentors, his name is Pedro Nogueira, we wrote an op-ed published in MSNBC called Why Do Students Need More Than Grit? The op-ed got a lot of traction, and we basically presented an example of a young person. He did everything he was supposed to, but he was undocumented. And because he was undocumented, he wasn't able to go to college. So you can have a lot of grit to succeed academically, but if the structural conditions around you are not also supportive of that grit, then you can only go so far.
What did Angela Duckworth think of the article that you wrote? Did she have an opinion?
Yeah, very much so. You know, the op-ed, it had come across her radar. She also had a similar visceral reaction.
In her podcast episode, Angela Duckworth describes her first impressions of Anindya.
I was just like, who is this kid, you know, like, who's critiquing my research? I wish I could tell you that it didn't hurt my feelings, I didn't feel emotional, but that would be a lie.
I was an early-ish mid-doctoral student, and Angela, her career was basically on the rise.
I remember thinking, well, this is a PhD student and I'm already a professor and the right thing is not to be intimidating. So I said, you know, I'd like to hear more.
We had a long, lovely conversation, in fact. And then I took a leap of faith and I asked her to be on my dissertation committee.
I read his thesis. I provided input. I don't know that I changed my mind, but I did feel like I had been incomplete. There was a kind of widening of my perspective.
And honestly, what has transpired since then is a really fruitful mentor-mentee relationship.
Anindya ended up writing his PhD thesis on the difference between agency and grit, and why grit is just one part of student success. To demonstrate this difference, he studied a group of young people who had succeeded professionally completely against the odds.
These are people who have come from immense socioeconomic disadvantage, having had contended with incarceration or substance abuse or various forms of trauma, because the data everywhere shows that if you've come from these backgrounds, it's very unlikely that you're going to transcend the circumstances of your birth. If you're born in the lowest quintile in the American economic spectrum, there's less than a 10% chance that you're going to make it towards the top. And so I wanted to study these outliers, if you will, that were able to become academically and professionally successful despite having come from these really challenging backgrounds, because I figured, you know, they clearly would have grit, but they've also had some other supports in their lives that have helped them, which I was hoping would eventually help us to understand what does agency look like.
What he found was that the environment was crucial to any psychological resilience.
Right. Grit is kind of a psychological concept where it's just like, I'm going to grit my teeth and kind of grind through this challenge. Agency is more of this holistic idea of like, okay, well, if I get knocked down, is there someone around me that can help to pick me up? Is there a space where I can feel like I belong and really bring out the strengths and the things that I'm hoping to work on? And so agency allows us to kind of grapple with the structural conditions and figure out how can we maneuver around them.
Anindya Kundu continues from the TED stage.
Tyreek was raised by a single mother, and then after high school, he fell in with the wrong crowd. He got arrested for armed robbery. In prison, Tyreek was actually aimless at first, as a 22-year-old on Rikers Island. This is until an older detainee took him aside and asked him to help with a youth program.
And so after months of kind of prodding and pushing, Tyreek eventually reluctantly said, yes, I'll go to one of these sessions. And then in seeing how much these younger detainees were looking up to him, he sort of realized that, hey, my life is also just starting in a sense, and maybe I can still turn things around. And so he started taking college credit classes. He started going to the library more, and he started developing discipline and keeping a more strict schedule. And so when he got out of prison, he was just a couple credits short of a college degree. He went on to get a master's in social work, and today he's actually on the front lines kind of leading campaigns against mass incarceration.
And Vanessa had to move around a lot as a kid. She was raised primarily by her extended family because her own mother had a heroin addiction. Yet at 15, Vanessa had to drop out of school and she had a son of her own. Well, she happened to find a program called Vocational Foundation that gave her $20 biweekly, a Metro card, and her first experiences with a computer. These simple resources are what helped her get her GED. Eventually, she was able to go to community college, and that's the pathway that allowed her to become accepted to one of the most elite colleges for women in the country, and she received her bachelor's at 36, setting an incredible example for her young son. Some people might hear these stories and say, those two definitely have grit. What's more important is that they had factors in their lives that helped to influence their agency or their specific capacity to actually overcome the obstacles that they were facing and navigate the system given their circumstances. We should only think of them as exceptional, but not as exceptions. Thinking of them as exceptions absolves us of the collective responsibility to help students in similar situations.
Even though agency can seem like it's an individualistic pursuit, one of the foundational elements of agency is that it really requires social support.
I worry that somebody listening to our conversation will think like, well, this is lovely, but, you know, we have seen that there is less funding going into social safety nets, into community
right.
programs, into support for education, after school organizations. This is a pipe dream.
Sure. I myself kind of struggle with that.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening, and I would say that this is likely by design, all of these competing social forces that push down on us from the top, we start to feel weaker and we start to feel like we have less capacity to make positive change. And what that leads us to do is to retreat and then feel like what we need to do is just look out for ourselves and hoard our resources and not share them.
So looking forward, as we go forth into 2026, what are some things we can do to claim our agency? Small things we can do.
So the first thing I would say is that we have to kind of understand that collectivity is a really important essence of having agency. But then there are also things that individuals can and have to do to feel agency in their lives. And so we sometimes have to audit our structural environment and understand, okay, how is my neighborhood working? What are the institutions, a library or a gym or a school or a community college that I have access to? Who are the different people that can kind of help me to get ahead? Psychological research shows us that a mentor could be someone who literally just leaves us a kind note, helping us realize that we're on the right path. But we also need to create these structures and institutions where more people can see themselves as belonging. And sometimes that takes one person to kind of stand out. And sometimes it could take like a group of people being like, okay, this is something that isn't working as well as it could, and we should go and try to make a positive change.
I mean, it sounds like basic societal cohesion.
Exactly. I love that you said that, because social cohesion is something I think about a lot. It's actually a topic I'm writing about in my next book. And what I would say right now is that if we think of society as an organism, it's like a living thing with different parts mm-hmm. and cells. What we're dealing with right now is almost like an autoimmune condition where we don't really see our commonality in someone else. And so what that has us do is retreat inward, but that's also furthering the problem. And so to kind of combat that social discohesion, I think we really need to put forward these institutions, places where everybody can go and everyone can belong and everybody can kind of remember that we're all in this together.
That was Anindya Kundu. He is an assistant professor of educational leadership and policy studies at Florida International University. He's also the author of Transforming Educational Leadership: Non-Traditional Narratives to Promote Equity in Uncertain Times. You can see his full talk at TED.com. On the show today, agency, what we can control and what we can't. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Don't go away. We'll be right back.